Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, faithful? Welcome into the 49ers You've Got Mail podcast presented by Delta Dental. I'm Lindsay Pilaris, your host, and today I am joined by a very special guest, four-time Super Bowl champion, Mike Wilson, for an alumni edition of the podcast. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me. Looking forward to having an interview with you.
It's great timing to have you on the podcast. For our listeners that were not at Levi's Stadium during week 8, it was the 49ers' annual alumni weekend celebration. A couple teams were honored. That 1981 team that secured the franchise's first ever Super Bowl title. What's the best part of getting the crew back together?
You know, it's great. And you know, for me to play with guys like Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Keena Turner, Eric Wright, and the list goes on and on.
That 1981 season was your rookie year. That ended an 8-season playoff drought for the Niners, brought home that first championship, and ushered in San Francisco's dynasty. When you started that season, could you have ever imagined what was to come in Niners history?
No, I mean, for me, it was everybody's journeys a little bit unique and different. I was originally drafted with the Cowboys and was their last cut. And Bill Walsh called me, and I flew in for a round-trip ticket that day and had a workout with them. And I had no idea that I left Dallas to come to San Fran, and we would end up winning the Super Bowl my rookie year. But there was 22 rookies on that team, and you know, like us, Ronnie Lott and Eric Wright, along with a young Joe Montana. So we had a young nucleus of new players that came in with the attitude that we wanted to be successful and try to win it all.
When you get that phone call from Bill Walsh, what's going through your mind?
Oh, it was awesome. I had honestly just came back to Southern California, my home, and I got a call from the 49ers saying, come on up, from late Billy Wilson. And I flew up just planning on to have a tryout and thinking they probably was going to put me on a list in case they needed somebody later. But I felt very good about my workout and sat in the locker room for 45 minutes, and they finally came back and said they were going to sign me. So that was the beginning of my whole career. I ended up staying there for 10 years with no interruptions, and was very fortunate, like I said, to play for Bill Walsh and be on four Super Bowl teams during my 10-year career with the 49ers.
During that tryout, is there one play that you can point to that sticks out in your mind as the thing that left the impression on the coaching staff, or was it a little bit of everything?
You know, I really think it was just, you know, really just one of those days where it was a great workout for myself. I feel like I caught everything. I ran sharp, crisp routes. Back then, I was a big receiver. I was 6'3 and 215 pounds. And that was before the bigger guys came along. So I offered something that they didn't have. And also with Bill Walsh's style of offense, he liked the big receiver who could line up as a tight end in the backfield as a running back. So I kind of was very fortunate, unbeknownst to me, that, you know, I fitted a lot of things that he was looking for to build his offense around.
You mentioned that you were a blocking wide receiver, and that's something that you actually had some experience with during your 4-year career at Washington State. How have you seen that become more of a norm in the NFL today, especially with the 49ers, who have guys like Deebo Samuel and Ray-Ray McCloud and Brandon Ayuk, who are very, very committed to the blocking game as well as being these very skilled pass catchers?
Well, I think the philosophy and ideology of me and I think the receivers today is, you know, every time you go out and catch a pass, you have the O-line and the running backs are, you know, picking up linebackers blitzing and blocking for you. So in return, as a wide receiver with the run game, you know, you want to give that running back every opportunity to take it all the way to the house, but don't allow that corner to make the block. So I mean, to make the tackle. So you really take pride in your blocking as much as catching, because it's just a part of the total offense system that makes you a successful offense.
How much fun is it to be that type of hybrid player?
You know, for me, I was unique, and obviously, you know, there, like I said, there are big receivers now, but back then, for me to be able to line up as in a, we called it in a tight formation, in a 3-point stance, and then go out and play wide receiver, it was really gave the offense a lot of diversity. You might have saw me come in the game as the wide out, and I lined up in the backfield. So for me, it allowed me to, you know, utilize my talents because I was a bigger guy. But more importantly, I think in the bigger picture of it, Bill Walsh had the ability to utilize and see what each individual player had and what they brought to the team that allowed him to develop a system that allowed players to play at their best. And so you look around our team with going back to the 81 team long before you were born. You know, we have the Freddie Solomons and Dwight Clark and, you know, guys in the backfield, Paul Hofer. And so Charlie Young and Russ Francis. I mean, all of these gentlemen who were very good, Bill found a way to utilize their strengths. And that's really what's important in I think in the scheme of your offense nowadays.
Perhaps as important as that 1981 Super Bowl win that came out of that season is the iconic catch from the 1982 NFC Championship game. You were a part of that team, witnessed the catch in real time. Can you relive that with us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, Dallas was America's team. I had just, on my personal level, I'd just been cut from them. So it was really, you know, I had a little bone to pick, but honestly, for us to come back and allow us to win that game with Dwight Clark's catch, I remember it was a sprint right option. The ball was supposed to go to Freddie, and they covered him, and Dwight worked the back of the in line and came back. And, you know, there's always the big debate that was Joe throwing it away, or was he throwing it high for Dwight Clark? But Joe says he was throwing it high. Dwight said he was throwing away, and he went up and got it. But I think the whole city of San Francisco, you could probably hear us down in Southern California, yelled and screamed. And it really was, I think, catapulted us into the success of the Niners that have today. I mean, we were the year before, I think they were 4-12. I wasn't with that team, but our rookie year, we ended up having a great year. And that was the big game to get to the Super Bowl. And definitely is one of probably the greatest plays, one of the greatest plays in 49er history.
Now you're 40 plus years removed from that iconic play. How often are you asked about just being on that team with Joe Montana and Dwight Clark?
You know, I think that really is, you know, every organization and teams have, you know, iconic guys who will always be remembered. And that's a historical play that, you know, that will be around another 100 years from now. And it was great to play with those guys because, you know, they were committed. And I just think that back then, my mom and dad were in the stands. Everybody just celebrated. And obviously, we still had a little more work to be done. But that play and the season we had that year was really special. And out of all the four championships, four Super Bowl teams I was on, that one probably is the most memorable and the most exciting because nobody had any expectations or plans. Once we won that one Super Bowl, San Francisco got used to winning. And that expectation of winning championships every week, every month, every year was a part of the team, and it still exists today.
You were part of 10 seasons with the 49ers and played alongside Dwight Clark, Freddie Solomon, Jerry Rice, John Taylor. What are some of the best memories you have with those wide receivers?
You know, I think in the meeting room, along with some great coaches that coached us from the late Sam Weiss to to Mike Corum to Dennis Green. I mean, there was some Sherman Lewis, some great coaches, and obviously the genius. I'm gonna give him that credit. Bill Walsh really had a great connection with his coaches that could coach us, and he really saw what our strengths and weaknesses were, but really focused in on our strengths, and that allowed us to go out and execute at such a high level that all the NFL defenses could never really shut us down. I mean, there were some close games, but we found a way to win. And I think, you know, I was very fortunate to come along with Dwight and Freddie early in my career. They both retired and then finished up with Dwight, with Jerry Rice and John Taylor. Obviously, Jerry is the GOAT. He's one of the greatest to ever play the position. He worked his butt off. He deserves it. And John Taylor was extremely talented and was a playmaker. So I was very fortunate to play along with those four men and for us to have the success we had. But people don't realize that hard work, it was a mental aptitude, being able to understand what a defense was doing and adjusting your routes, and the ability to be on the same page with Joe Montana was really special and exciting and fun for us as players and for the fans to watch.
How quickly did you realize the generational talent that was Joe Montana as soon as you came to the 49ers?
You know, I think Joe was still young, and that was his year, his breakout year, that first year. But he was so calm, cool, and collected. I mean, you know, you got to look at Joe's history. Came out of Notre Dame, third round pick, mm-hmm. not high expectations, and yet this man accomplished the pinnacle. He won four championships, and obviously there are some other quarterbacks who've had great success. The latest and just retired Tom Brady, but Joe was awesome. Joe really exemplified poise and confidence, and more importantly, his ability to go out and execute whatever Bill Walsh asked him to do. And as a receiving core and running backs, O-line, we all bought into the system and just tried to be the best we could be, because you're working your butts off and putting all that time in. And this is what I always say to young athletes, and I've coached in NFL and collegiately, is that if you're going to put the time in, be the best you can be. And I think that's what we tried to accomplish in the four championships in 10 years. We really had an opportunity to win six, but we did play in six NFC championship games. So I have nothing to complain about. I was very fortunate, but we really tried to set the bar, and it's, you know, known as the West Coast offense, but we also had some great guys on defense when I played those 10 years, and defense won a lot of games for us also. But Joe Montana was amazing, pleasure. And I saw him, and we all still keep in touch with each other.
I love that. Well, as star-studded as the cast was, you don't get to four championships in 10 years without selfless players. You talked about everyone buying into the Bill Walsh system. How rare is it to have athletes that are more into the team mentality than the many accolades that all the athletes on this team compiled individually?
You know, I think that is one of the most profound questions I've ever had, because it really does probably exemplify what we were with the 49ers. I mean, I look at my career, and yes, you know, my ego's checked. I mean, I could have probably went and played and caught a lot more balls with other teams. However, everybody understood their role, and the ultimate goal was to win a championship, contribute any way you can. And so for me to come in and line up as a tight end or run a route out the backfield or just play wide receiver and do what a wide receiver does, it was really the commitment by all the guys to check your egos and let's go out here and get this work done. And we accomplished that in the 80s. That's why we were the team of the 80s. And, you know, as I sit here 40 years later, nobody can take that away from us. You know, I know we're all getting older, but it was a great, great run. And, you know, the Niners have continued to have unbelievable success. And they're on the verge of, you know, hopefully winning another Super Bowl for the 49ers.
That was where I was going next. For this team that has been knocking on the door of a Super Bowl win for the past four seasons, what is the final step to get to the finish line?
You know, I really think the team is outstanding. I mean, they're playing good, excellent offense, good defense. Remember, teams have, other teams have pro athletes too, and they and so when you walk in as with the Niner shield and the Niner helmet, teams are not taking you lightly. In fact, you're going to get their A game, their best game every week. And so you really have to put the top of your game. But I think the Niners just need to stay healthy. I think they have a good, excellent offensive system. They have a great defense, and they have the player. They're very talented. And so in my world of being a coach with four NFL teams and also playing a decade with the Niners, it is a matter of attrition and guys staying healthy. It's a long season. And so if they can stay healthy and, as we get into the second half of the season, correct whatever needs to be corrected and get going again, I think they'll be all right. And I'm still a big believer in them. And those guys go out and play hard. I mean, you can never say the Niners didn't show up to play. But some teams have, some weekends is not your week. And but hopefully, winning is what this game is all about, and they'll get back in the win column and have some success. But I'm looking forward to them. I predict they'll go all the way and have a chance to win it all. But, once again, I'm biased. There are some Kansas City fans on the other side saying, hey, we're waiting for you. And that's a very good team. But the Niners are doing well, and I wish them well. And, you just got to keep fighting and keep getting better and keep working hard, because that championship is there's a lot of great former NFL guys who never won it, let alone gone to an NFC championship game or won a Super Bowl. So they have all the opportunity in the world to win it. They just got to put the work in, and I'll be watching.
This 2023 team has just hit its year mark with Christian McCaffrey. From your perspective as a former player, former coach, how monumental was the trade for CMC?
That was huge for him. You remember, he was a Stanford kid, and to come back kind of home was good for him. He's been able to stay healthy, but I think he's one of the most talented runners in the league, and now it's just a matter of him. Once again, this game is about being able to have that longevity to last the whole season, and hopefully he can do that and avoid any injuries or and you're going to have injuries during the season, but recuperate, come back, and we need him in the playoffs. We're not at the playoffs yet, but it's important that the whole team, Samuels and all the guys can stay healthy and contribute to, what is a really excellent offense.
Part of that excellent offense, of course, is former seventh round pick Brock Purdy, who is now QB1. What's been the most impressive part of his game in his 1.5 seasons so far?
Right. Brock Purdy, I tell you, just poised, calm. I really haven't seen him getting shook up. Even with some adversity, he doesn't show it on his face. He just comes out and plays pretty consistent, solid football. And my philosophy with the NFL is not where you start, but where you finish. And so be it Mr. Relevant coming in, he has earned his starting position and has had remarkable success. And hopefully he'll just get better every game. And, once again, you always got to throw in there staying healthy. I know he had an elbow last year at the very end, but I think the young man has a bright, amazing future ahead, and the Niners are, going to utilize him to his maximum, and he'll come out and produce. He's surrounded by some excellent tight end and receivers and running back. So I think the Niners have probably one of the most talented skilled teams in the NFL. So it's just a matter of them. Once again, I keep saying it, but it's the truth about staying healthy, and guys continue to get better, work hard, and execute that offense that is one of the best in the league.
Mike, I have one question for you before we move on to our fan-submitted portion of this podcast. What is one story that you feel comfortable sharing that you've never told before within those 10 seasons of being with the Niners?
Wow, that's a tough one. It's funny, as I reflect back, and I'm going to go to the GOAT, Jerry Rice, greatest of all time. Jerry never had many injuries. And I remember one time we played Chicago on a Monday night game, and Joe had, I mean, I'm sorry, Jerry had strained his knee, and it had a really had a shoulder problem too. And this guy came out, and it was cold in Chicago that night. I was starting at X, he was a Z, came out and played hard. And, you know, that's just one example of, you know, everybody knows the numbers of Jerry and how many touchdowns, how many yards he had. But, you know, for me to, you know, play with him that day and to know what he was playing with. And there's, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that some athletes play with a lot of injuries and they learn how to go through it. Dwight Clark did it a lot. And so a lot of players that I knew had a lot of surgeries, would come right back. But I remember Jerry being the one guy who, you know, he was pretty consistent, injured free or injured. And I was just amazed because I've had a sprained knee or some injuries and you kind of feel it. And he was pretty phenomenal. On the same side, there was a John Taylor who was just an unbelievable athlete. You know, I'll tell you one with John Taylor. We used to have the 49er basketball team and we'd play around the different, you know, cities in California. And all of a sudden we're playing up in Stockton or in Fresno, and John Taylor, you know, came down. I never really played basketball with him, and the guy could jump out the gym and dunk one time and put his elbows on the rim. And I'm like, whoa. And nobody knew that. And I think you have to be at those games, and not many people attend them. There was a few people there, but what an athlete who had a vertical of probably 44, 46, but that's one thing that always amazed me. So whenever I took the ball out of bounds, I'd throw an alley-oop to JT and he'd jump over everybody and dunk. And so we had fun with it.
Was this a rec league?
No, this was a 49er. It was a 49er basketball team that we used to go around and you know, fundraise for high schools. And okay. Most of the games were against the local sheriff or highway patrolman or the local that high school's faculty. It was not serious basketball. Every now and then you have some serious games, but it was there more for fun and the players to get out in the community and sign autographs and take pictures. So it was, I'm not sure if they do that anymore. I'm not in the Bay Area. And I
that's
think
fantastic. I don't think they do that anymore though.
Yeah. You should ask. I mean, that was 30 games in off season. It was great. Ronnie Lott, everybody, Joe came out, Dwight came out. And so we had fun with it. And I'm sure that those days that type of, you know, activities have stopped. Back then, we just would go and play a charity game and try to raise as much money for the football team or whoever was involved, and had a blast. It was fun.
Awesome. Okay. We are going to start with just a couple fan-submitted questions. Delaney from Fresno, if you could replay one game from your career, which would it be?
Oh, wow. Well, we almost had an undefeated season. We went 17-1, and we lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers at Candlestick. And if the play could be run again and the ref would have took off his blinders, he caught a PI in the end zone that was not won, and we'd have won that game. And we'd have matched Miami with the second team that had an undefeated season, because we did go on to win the Super Bowl, and I think that was at Stanford that year. But that particular play really would have been special, even though I have nothing to complain about.
Okay, so you would go and change the course of history there.
That one, obviously, you know, to answer your question, I would say that particular play would have made a difference in the history of the franchise. It would have just been probably
that would have been really cool.
We were very good. Defense was awesome. I mean, those were the Hextall Reynolds and Fred Dean, Ronnie Lott, Dwight Hicks, you know. So, I mean, we were Keena Turner. The team was probably the best team out of all the four Super Bowl teams that year. But unfortunately, our record was 17-1.
That's a very good record. Nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
We have one more question for you. Domingo from Lakewood, did you have any superstitions or pregame rituals that were a non-negotiable on game day?
Wow. I was not the superstitious guy. I can name a few on the team who were, but I was pretty consistent. I just knew that if I knew my plays and just kept looking at them, it would be more instinctive. I think for young athletes, you want to learn whatever your system is, and so it's instinctive. You're not thinking while you're playing. The superstitious guys that I remember, I'll share these two, were one was Hacksaw Reynolds. Now, that's going back in the day, great linebacker. He would come in. He was with the Rams, came to us, and we're having team breakfast at the hotel, and he comes in with his full uniform. He would put his uniform on at the hotel and ride on the bus fully dressed. That was different. Not many guys did that.
That is different.
You're like, whoa, okay, but my God, the guy would, you know, study film 24/7 and was one of the best. If you really know NFL history, Hacksaw Reynolds is one you should look at. The last one and the second one would be Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice was the one where we would get in and Jerry would try on 8 different pair of pants. He would have the tape and tape his you ever watch Jerry, he play had a towel that he put behind him. He would fold it, put it on, then he would adjust his socks. And so Jerry was very meticulous in detail and it just had to be right. And he always told me, hey, you know, if I feel good and I look good, then I'll play good. And I'll be darned, this guy was a perfectionist and get tying his shoes up. And, you know, I really saw a lot. What people didn't see about Jerry was he was committed and detailed and had some strong, you know, pregame rituals that nobody else did. I know I never tried on 8 pair of pants. I usually wore the same pair for every game, but Jerry would try on everything and put it on and take it off. And when it came game time, he was ready to go.
Thank you so much for your time. That was fantastic. You have such good stories.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it. And good luck with your podcast and go Niners.
Faithful, to be featured in the next episode of the 49ers You've Got Mail podcast presented by Delta Dental. Submit your questions to 49ers.com/mailbag. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so you can be the latest to listen to our latest episodes.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.